Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, I figured the Bills would come to play. They did have something to play for.
Until they gave up in the second half.
Well, tell me exactly when you think they did do that. They gave up.
Paul? Why don't you handle this? I know it's a passionate point for you.
It was about 13 minutes to go, and the Bills had a fourth and one, down a touchdown, and decided to kick a 50-yard field goal into the lighthouse end that even if it had been made, they wouldn't have helped them try to win the game.
Yeah.
I thought, to me, that sent a bad message to the team. We're not going to try to get a yard. The way I look at it is if you're playing against the Patriots, what do you feel more confident in your ability to do? Move the ball against their defense or stop Tom Brady in the offense?
Right.
They chose the latter, and they got blown out.
It was a curious move. And then you get into the second half, and you figured, you know, the Patriots are going to run the clock, which they started to do, and the Bills would be ready for that run. But, you know, Deion Lewis just gashed them.
Yeah, he had a huge day. I'm glad, you know, he was on the cover of the paper because you're without White, you're without Burkhead. And we know he still thinks he is what he was at Pitt, that he can be a workhorse and carry the ball all the time, be the focal point of the offense. And this was a little, you know, best day of his career with 129 yards, 24 carries, but a little bit back to 2015 where he caught the ball five times, had a touchdown receiving, a touchdown rushing, big part of the offense, and he stepped up to the plate. And, you know, I would continue to ride him. I think he has been really good over the last couple months.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, Freddie, you know, at that point, and this is why I think Andy and I were like, you know, the Bills decided to pack it in. Eight carries for 68 yards. Those next two drives, which both ended in touchdowns. That's where Lewis got the bulk of his production. And
tackling wasn't great. It looked like they almost didn't want to tackle.
Well, that's my point. And I think that when your coach waves a white flag like that, I think, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Let's go home. Let's spend some time with our families. And Deion was there to take advantage.
But it is a little surprising because they are or were on the cusp of making the playoffs.
They were playing for something.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. I think they played hard in the game. I think that they came to play. They had something to play for, and I thought they played really well for the better part of three quarters. I think when the Patriots beat them down in that, you know, they missed that field goal, I think they realized we've lost this game. You know, we gave them our best shot, and it wasn't good enough, and that's when I think it spiraled, at, you know, at the end. But I give Buffalo credit. They came here to play, and I thought they played reasonably well. The Patriots were just better.
It's amazing, you know, you talk about the running game. There's been a few games now where the Patriots have run the ball very well. Like,
yep.
We're talking close to 200 yards.
390-plus yard games over the last month plus.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line deserves credit for that.
Yeah.
I thought this was a game, maybe their best game. And it's weird because it comes on the heels of pregame. You have Fleming already having to play at right tackle. He's sort of unseated Waddle as the backup fill-in. And then Nate Solder is not out there for warm-ups. You're wondering, is it going to be both Fleming and Waddle? Solder ends up playing. I thought there were big holes. I thought there were big openings, not just for Lewis, but when Gillislee was in there. And Mike Gillislee's active for the first time. He's going right up the middle, and it's just opening up. He's getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards before there's even anybody there. So I think that offensive line, we've talked about Shaq Mason all year, but I thought as a group, including pass protection, this was their best performance.
Now, we've talked about, you know, when the Patriots had success running in the pass, and usually it's when teams are you know, planning for the pass, you know, and the Patriots run in those situations. But I think, at least on Sunday, they were running when the Bills thought they were going to run, and they were having success.
Well, I think to some degree, teams always think the Patriots are passing. They always plan for the pass. In the past, though, the Patriots haven't always been able to run in those situations.
Right.
It was when the other team just flat out said, go ahead and run. We're not playing both ways at all. Now, I think this is some running over the last month and a half, 2 months, where they have run where it's balanced, somewhat balanced. The other team is still thinking pass first because it's Brady, it's Gronkowski and company. It's the number one passing offense. But they're not going overboard in that direction, and the Patriots are running at regular fronts, and I like that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gronkowski. I think Gronkowski being out there and healthy helps the rest of the offense. There's no doubt about it, and particularly Tom Brady.
And this is another game where, I mean, the numbers weren't otherworldly like they have been the last couple of games, but the one-handed catch just simply, it just defies description. It's just, I think, and I say this all the time about him, we all know how great he is, and I think everybody just looks at him. He's like this big guy with these huge hands, and he can make these plays. I still think his athleticism is somewhat underrated. And to get him moving toward the pylon, to reach up with one hand, spinning, to get his feet down in bounds. I don't think there's another tight end that makes a catch like that in football, maybe ever. I mean, you're going back to some of the other guys like Kellen Winslow, you know, obviously a gifted athlete. But I still think, and I know this is news to you, Andy, I still think he's a little underrated in terms of his athleticism.
Well, I've already seen questions of if Gronk is the all-pro tight end that gets him his biggest
I don't know how that word if can be there.
Right. I mean, do all-pro voters not watch games?
It's
do they,
the,
do they not
if
see?
They just go on the stats. There's
but
a
even
question.
There, he's competitive.
He's got the
he
stats.
More yards per catch,
but there's
same
a question.
Touchdowns.
At least you can
there's
debate
no question.
It. But the eye test. Is there any tight end better than him? I test.
And
no.
His importance.
It's an easy answer.
I've even brought up the idea over the last month or so that he's the MVP of the Patriots. Tom Brady's probably going to be the league MVP. But if you watch this passing attack over the last month, it's Gronk and then a little bit of other stuff filling in. When he wasn't there in Miami, it was horrific, as Brady has struggled a little bit over the last month. But there was even a throw in the Bills game. He was triple covered. Triple covered down the seam. And what did Brady do? He threw to him. Why? Because more often than not, he's going to make those catches because he's the best damn player on the field.
Moving over, I mean, the Patriots made a move. James Harrison coming in from the Steelers. A why not move, in my opinion.
Right. Defensive player
of
the year.
But it does tell us something, you know, of what Patricia and Bill think of the defense right now. They need help, not necessarily rushing the passer, but setting the edge. They need an able body out there to set that edge. And maybe he can do that. We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, he's going to get an opportunity, certainly. Yeah. But I agree with you, the why not element of it, that they have no depth at all on the edges, whether it's rushing the passer or setting the run. Like you said, I agree with you. I think the ability to maybe get out there and get a little bit of a bulk to that spot. They look like
he's got bulk.
Yeah, but they look like they have a lot
Andy's
of guys.
He's very impressed with that bulk.
The man's a square. He's a walking square.
Andy was
SpongeBob square.
It was embarrassing earlier in the week when we were in the locker room and he walked by. No, it was. You may not have thought it was embarrassing. Everybody around you felt the
People
embarrassment
have told
for you.
Me.
The man works out in the gym and you can see it. And I'm impressed
and his
by that.
Just like he is so much bigger, just you know, thicker, as Andy likes to say, than the other guys that have been playing that spot.
And don't you want that guy to be thick?
Of course.
What did we talk about when Cassius Marsh was out there?
Too small.
Look at him. He's too skinny.
Yeah, but
he's
want him pliable, too.
Markievicz, I don't want him pliable. I want him taking on blockers and setting the edge, creating a pile, you know, being a physical
player.
I think
we have Le'Veon
two methods. We have the TB12 method and the 92 method.
And which one do you think I go to?
The 92 method.
JH92.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we're going to focus on the Patriots' back end of the defense and not allowing big plays. Against the Bills, 4 plays over 30 yards. A week earlier, we saw the long play late in the game, 69 yards. We are revisiting problems that came up earlier in the season. And let's be honest, the Jets are not going to have long, consistent drives with Petty. They need to hit big plays, and the Patriots, quite frankly, need to clean up the big plays allowed, not only to beat the Jets, get the number one seed, take care of business, but prepare for the postseason, because big plays allowed will kill you in the postseason. Remember Ray Rice on this field? It was over early. No more big plays allowed. Ground game, passing game, they can't happen.
Deion Lewis has been a huge part of the offense in recent weeks. Really, the second half of the season, it's been a total reversal for him. He was very quiet early on, and now you're seeing shades of 2015, where he's becoming the lead back and one of the best receivers out of the backfield. I think he's doing a lot of different things, and the production has been off the charts. But this is New England, and this is what I do. I worry about things. I worry, A, about the amount of touches, 29. Career high for him against Buffalo. I don't want to see that number that high, certainly in the finale against the Jets, because I worry about his durability. And also, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So what do you do? Devontae Freeman, huge contract in Atlanta. I don't think he'll get anything approaching that. And the Patriots won't have to worry about this for another month or so, but just something to keep in mind.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk, we look at instant replay. It's been a key talking point of late for Patriots games, and I say it's time for it to go. Paul Perillo says...
It needs to be just overhauled and fixed, because right now, the way it's going, it's not working.
And what happens when the NFL
supposed to correct
usually
egregious
tries to
errors.
Fix something?
They usually make it worse.
Thank you. It has to... You know what? I actually think it's ruined all of sports. I don't watch hockey as much as the others.
I agree with you. This is not just an NFL problem.
Baseball, basketball, and football, it ruins the flow of the game. It changes the emotion of the fans, not only in the stadium, but everybody watching at home. It delays gratification. And I really think... I wanted to get rid of all replays in general, even on TV broadcasts. I backed off that a little bit. Slow motion is also a key part of it. Replays in and of themselves, different angle, down the sideline as opposed to wherever it was originally, are better live. Full speed. Let's let the game play itself out.
Okay. I don't need to have the referees looking at these super slow motion replays and splicing them together
doing.
And doing all of this.
Calvin Benjamin's firm control 10 minutes later.
But you're suggesting that we get rid of replays for the fans to watch and enjoy.
Everything.
Why can't I watch a play in slow motion?
You have a DVR. If you're at home, watch it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Rewind. It's got that little hook with the arrow.
Even for you, that's absurd. This is not the way it was designed. This is not the reason why it was put into place. When a guy's running down the sideline and he steps on the sideline and they say that he's in bounds, and you can easily look at it on replay and say, well, his foot's on the side.
Well, then you can easily see it at full speed.
That's what
you need to do.
You
don't need to slow-mo it if it's easy.
That's what you need to do. What you need to correct. You need to correct egregious errors. And right now, they're taking plays like the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown on Sunday, and they're looking at it for over 5 minutes, and they're looking at two different angles, and they're trying to determine whether or not he actually had possession of the ball in his hand while the toe was on the ground. We all agree he caught the ball and had both feet in bounds. We just can't agree on whether or not he did all that at the same time. That's not what replay is supposed to be about.
Simple.
That's not what it's supposed to be
about.
Screwed up plays. It's broken.
You know him when you see him, right? It's immediate. It doesn't take 10 minutes in 4K,
five
angles,
blah, blah, blah.
He dropped
the pass. He went right through his hands.
So replay has ruined sports. That is the connection we make here. Remove replay, sports good again. It's very simple math.
I don't understand why the sport has to be destroyed for viewers as well.
It's not destroyed for viewers. Watch it full speed. I'll give you a second angle full speed, even a third angle full speed, but no more slow-mo where you can bitch about a backside tackle holding, or he may have had 1 foot ahead of the 1 yard for blocking downfield. Slow-mo replay ruins the sport.
You know, and I got to give you credit for something. I never really thought about it, but now that I'm thinking all the things with the catch, you know, we're talking about the definition of what a catch is now, and no one knows what it is. You know, the NFL will fix it. The NFL won't fix it.
They never fix it.
The NFL,
they make things worse.
They always make it worse.
Get rid of replay, and football will be great again. Make football great again.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
The Ravens' John Harbaugh is once again complaining about a perceived injustice. No, this time it's not anything the Patriots did. Instead, according to Harbaugh, the injustice had been levied on not just him and his team, but all the fans of the Ravens and the entire city of Baltimore. Because the Ravens' playoff status is still uncertain, their 1 o'clock game was moved to 4:25. Oh, my God. Even though that's what the league has been doing ever since it instituted flexible scheduling, Harbaugh feels singled out. There are now 9 games being played at 4:25, and all of them have some sort of playoff implication for one or both of the teams. That's great. It means the games will be relevant, at least from the opening kickoff. But Harbaugh thinks the league has done the Ravens wrong. He thinks the fans should be outraged, having to deal with a 3.5-hour delay on their New Year's Eve plans. Here's the real deal. New Year's Eve is overrated, and so are the Ravens' chances in the playoffs, if they get there.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week, we're joined by Patriot safety Patrick Chung. Patrick, big win for the Patriots against Buffalo. You're able to sew up that first round bye. How big is that, you know, mentally going to the playoffs, knowing that you're going to get a little bit of a rest?
I mean, it's big when that time comes. You know, right now we're trying to play for this home field because I'm not going to just roll over the Jets. You know, they're a good team. They're a tough team, resilient team. So right now we're focused on them. But it is good to know you have that in the back of your mind, yes. But right now we're trying to make sure we don't have to get on any more planes, just one more plane, you know, and then call it a day.
We were talking a little bit about the Jets and some of the problems that they present. Bilal Powell has had a terrific season for them. And you have been a big part of, you know, sort of that front seven trying to get involved in stopping the run. What kind of challenges does he present?
He's explosive, man. And he's kind of like McCoy. Like, he can run the ball, he can catch the ball, he gets out in the open field, and he's a problem. He's explosive. So just kind of just being able to contain him a little bit and try to slow him down a little bit. And you know, he's a good player, though. He's going to have his runs. He's going to break tackles. He has a good stiff arm. So just everyone is flying to the ball and just trying to just contain him for the most part and just see what we can do with everybody else.
I know that you've done a lot of this stuff that you've been doing this year periodically throughout your career, but you know, in talking and listening to Coach Belichick, just talking about you know, the way that you've been doing different things. Matty P talks about it, linebacker almost. It's like you're out there shooting around and stopping the run, filling the gaps. How difficult is that to sort of balance all the different things you have to do?
You make it as difficult as you want. I mean, if you get put in those situations, you know, it's kind of like a compliment, you know. They believe you can do certain things and do different things, multiple things. So I kind of take it as a compliment, and, you know, just got to learn the playbook. You can't just learn what you're doing at one position because you might be playing another one, you know, in that same exact, you know, front or whatever defense we might be in. So just kind of learn the whole defense as a whole and being able to know what everyone's doing. So if coach puts you at a different spot, then you know what you're doing.
Guys seem like you have a very tight room. You know, the defensive backs seem to be very tight. Yeah. I want to ask you in particular, Daron Harmon. Yeah. You know, we call him the closer, and that's what you guys all laugh and joke.
The closer, yeah.
Do you ever say, you know, man, we're out there every play. We're doing all this stuff. You in particular, you're slamming into running backs at the line of scrimmage, fighting off blocks, and he gets to, you know, get these deflected interceptions to close out games. He's the closer. How does that work?
Hey, close it out. I don't care how many plays you play. Close it out. I mean, my job is to hit linemen. His job is to close the game. So We do what we do. We know our assignments. We know our teammates, and you know it could change at any instant, any second. Malcolm, get out of here. You change at any instant. So he's a closer, bro. We need a big play at the end of the game. He's pretty much gonna make it if you give him a chance.
And now it's Malcolm Butler bearing gifts. We're gonna let you go at that before this turns into a real circus.
It's all good. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, cool.
You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's question time here on PFW, the ones that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. We'll start with Steve Smith, who says, watching Jimmy G perform so strongly is very frustrating but not surprising. And he wants to know, even if he gets franchised, after that runs out, is there a possibility he could come back to the Patriots?
No, they'll franchise him again, unless he starts to stay. The only way, in my opinion, he returns to the Patriots is if he flames out and then he does a Brian Hoyer, and somewhere down the line he's the backup because they're comfortable with him and they like him. But if he continues to play as well as he's playing or at a starting caliber, he's not coming back.
So this isn't part of the master plan?
No.
For the no?
I don't know if you know, John Lynch is madly
in love
with him.
Because I heard that was the case.
I know you've heard a lot of things. Yeah. They're all wrong.
Master plan?
Yeah. All right, Andres Ochoa writes in, I'm concerned with Gilmore and Rose recent play. I think they're one mistake from possibly hurting the Patriots' chances in the playoffs. Can you let us know if that's just an anomaly or something to be concerned about?
How did Butler get scot-free in that question?
Yeah, I'm going to use the whole secondary in my answer. And I will say that based on my expectations heading into the season, I think they've been spotty. I don't think they've been terrible, but I do think they've been more inconsistent than I would have thought going in. I thought that was clearly going to be the strength of that defense. We all had concerns up front, not so much back there. And I think Andy's right. It's not just those two, Gilmore and Rowe, but Butler has been in there. I think McCourty has just been okay. Chung, I think
the safeties have played well.
I think Chung has played very well lately. I thought he struggled early in the season. As a group, they're going to need to be better. And I think especially those cornerbacks are going to need to play better in the playoffs than they have down the stretch, especially Sunday. I thought they all struggled on Sunday.
Okay. Ricky Easter writes in, I wanted to know your thoughts on who you think might be a playoff hero that we might not expect.
Devlin. Would you like me to go with somebody
else? No, you answering, we would expect that
answer. I don't know if this fits the criteria. Yeah. Chris Hogan. You know, he's basically been a non-factor much of the season because of the injury. The whole second half of the season, they maybe rushed him back. Now he's out again.
Yeah.
But you remember, this is a guy, this is the AFC title, 180 and two touchdowns, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Getting
them
to a Super Bowl. You know, they're looking for complementary passing weapons. And Amendola is an option. But I think Hogan, if he can get healthy, you might get this fresh, just sort of ready to go Hogan.
Okay, isn't it that position, though? I mean, like, it's a wide receiver that, you know, maybe Malcolm Mitchell comes back. He started practicing. Yeah. Maybe he comes back.
Dorsett.
I don't know. Philip Dorsett is a guy that we.
Wheel
the,
route.
The three of us keep
Wheel
talking. Route. They don't ever throw them the ball. But when they do, he usually catches it.
Well,
maybe he makes two or three catches
paper,
in a playoff
probably
game.
A wide receiver running back. But I think a coach's hero, I think it might be Malcolm Brown.
Okay. He's already been great.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been great the last couple weeks.
Okay.
He helped to swing the Bills game. Were you watching?
All right.
A sack and a tackle for no gain.
I think the only thing I'm going to say is you're not going to win a playoff game based on
I think that's going to continue.
Like
Gregory Smith writes in, I would like to see the ball breaking the plane rule abolished, he says. he doesn't like it. He doesn't like once the ball breaks a plane, it's automatically touchdown. He also thinks that it should be a majority of the player's body in the end zone that requires a touchdown.
That's what we need. More discussion of whether he established himself in the end zone.
Yeah, he,
more technical.
More replay.
He's treating the end zone as a second field of play.
No.
And you have to establish yourself in it before you can have a touchdown.
The referees and video cannot handle his situation. It will not work. It'll be awful.
All right. That's it, Greg. I'm sorry.
Hysteria.
Yep. All right. That's
but
it
they should put the goalposts back on the goal
so
line.
So people can slam into them.
Yes.
Good, yeah. Okay, that's it
Devlin
for this week's
Harrison
questions.
And Hart
send them
into
to askpfw@patriots.com.